Tonight, we have a very special guest. And she will be talking to and telling us about what needs to be improved, as well as what exists in the world of sexuality.
It's cooking with cleavage. Cleavage. It's cooking with cleavage. Cleavage. Oh, cleavage. Oh, cleavage. Oh, you like my fake, should I do it like that? Or like, my titties are too big. Oh, let me zip them up. Get ready to cook. Hey, hello, hi. Welcome back to Cooking with Cleavage. You like my crochet hair deal? Well, I do too. Anyways, I'll give you the lady who did my crochet. I'll give you her number. She did it about 4 days ago. Anyways, today I might have to wash this again because my child washed it. He likes to embarrass me in front of the camera. Anyways, I'm not that embarrassed. It's really hard to embarrass me anyways. So guys, today I'm going to change things up a little bit only because I don't feel like cooking. I'm fighting a little depression. I've had a lot of cancellations for my talk vlog show. And there's some familiar problems, and I guess because I'm not into Jesus the way my family is, actually I'm not into any religion, as you all can tell. I'm not against it, to each his own, but I don't like it imposed on me, you understand? And it's especially hurtful when you become vulnerable and you think you're having a conversation with someone and you know they're talking about, yeah, there should be peace in the family and all this stuff, and then you go and then you tell them exactly how you feel and where you feel wronged and all this, and then they come back with you with Jesus is the king of my whole soul. Where the fuck did that come from? That's not the issue, you know. That's just fucking weird. This is why I don't get into all that. That's fanatism. It's not my thing. To each his own still. I'm not putting it down. That's just not my thing. And, the other thing was this person told me that, I have the right to my perceptions. Well, yeah, you have a right to your perceptions, but if you're trying to make peace and you are trying to be inside a team or inside a group or inside a relationship, you can't just have your own perceptions and your estimations, because all that shit is a big if. We can look at the same thing. You guys can be listening. Two people can be listening to me right now. And you will be hearing one thing and then this other person will be hearing the other. The only way that you guys can see if you both understood the same thing or even share what you both understood is by communication. That's why we were giving, you know, minds. Not everybody's a psychic, and even psychics can't always read what's inside people's minds. And that's why we were giving Braille, sign language, you know, with the, you know, the tongue. You know, and penmanship, so we can communicate. You cannot communicate or mince your words completely. I mean, you can honestly talk with respect, but say what you mean, you know? And even some heavy discussion behind it. But you can't just because it gets strong or emotional, just back away from the conversation. I mean, if it's not getting violent and it's just a discussion, well, that's usually what happens. Because emotions, mind, and everything, you can't always be just controlled and stuff. You have to feel what you're saying so that it makes sense and two people, intelligent, mature people, can have a conversation and do good. Anyways, today I'm going to make a special pancake because I think I need some sweet therapy. So I'm going to make a rum banana pancake with ice cream, and it's gonna be nice and crispy. It's my very special, very fattening, maybe a little bit diabetic, but sometimes you have to take that risk and drink some bitters afterwards so you won't get sick. Or actually, if you are not supposed to take the sugar, then don't do it. I'm just saying, for me, that whole conversation was for me. So we're going to take out the pancake. This is the pancake. I got fruit flies, by the way. It's the pancake mix. I'm going to go grab the rum. And, okay. Alright, so my guest name is Raven Caldera. And he's going to talk to us about sex magic and Baphomet and the Calderon Farm, and you're gonna be interested and you're gonna like it. And if you don't, at least like my cleavage. You will like my cleavage, right? Because that's all you turn this on for, so you can see. Anyways.
Yeah. And thank you much. And let's see, I'm Raven and I'm a shaman. I'm a Northern tradition shaman, which means that I work with the shamanism of Northern Europe and a little bit of Eurasia, and which is the shamanism of my ancestors. I'm also a neo-pagan minister with the First Kingdom Church of Asphodel. And on top of that, I am a I'm an intersex person and transgendered, and I am an activist for that. And I do a lot of, I'm also a BDSM and alternative relationship educator, and I do a lot of education on that. I'm an activist for everything that I believe in, including homesteading, organic farming, and kinky sex, and alternative relationships, and alternative spirituality, and all kinds of other stuff like that. And so I'm a complicated person, and I have currently, I'm up to 44 books that I've written on all these various and sundry topics, and you can find them at asphodelpress.com and alfredpress.com.
Editing. So. I'm very interested because I find Baphomet very, I find his caricature and his myth very interesting, and that's really that's what attracted me to some of your work and so forth when I was doing my research. And could you tell us a little bit about the myths that people have a really bad view of Baphomet? And I thought that you
Baphomet is a difficult deity because I'm using the he pronoun, but you could just as easily say they, because Baphomet is both male and female. Baphomet is, we don't know a lot about Baphomet's origins, and Baphomet seems to like it that way. How people who are ceremonial magicians see Baphomet is very different from how people who are neo-pagans see Baphomet. And some people who work more with satanic stuff like to stick Baphomet in as a demon. That's not my view. I see Baphomet as a sort of like a wrathful bodhisattva, in the sense that Baphomet is a god of the part of life where things rot down into the earth, and prior to growing up new and all that. And Baphomet's job as a deity is to make you deal with your garbage. And we all have garbage. We all have internal baggage that we don't want to deal with and we don't want to look at. And Baphomet's job is to do whatever it takes to make you deal with your garbage. And you can think of him as like a big, mean, scary looking garbage collector who is, pointing a gun at you and saying, give me those bags of garbage. Give me those stinking, rotting bags that you're hanging on to for dear life, whimpering and saying, no, don't take my stinking baggage away. And his job is to separate us from that garbage, whatever that takes. So,
okay,
go ahead.
And how old? I don't know. It's very ancient, the whole Baphomet thing, right?
Well, we don't know. Baphomet is actually, in terms of gods, Baphomet is a younger deity. The earliest that we know is some Gnostic Greek stuff, and then later, of course, stuff that is imported from the Middle East during the Crusades. So Baphomet is actually in terms of the documented worship of Baphomet, it's actually younger than Christianity. Now, Baphomet could have gone back further than that, but we don't know. There was nothing written down.
Okay, I wanted to like face thing.
Yep.
Okay. All right. So here's the room. In the bosom. What else was I gonna? Oh, I was gonna put some blue cheese on there. Also, I've decided to mix my cooking with some of my talking once in a while. You know what the blue cheese does for me? Do you want what? Blue cheese does for me. That's what it does. Yeah, but now the effect went away because the taste is down my throat. Maybe if I do it again. Oh yeah, I can't. I mean, whoever thought that rotting cheese could taste so good? No, but for real, when I eat the blue cheese, it makes me feel like, shit on later tonight. Oh yeah. Yeah, baby. Uh-huh. It's your birthday. Uh-huh. Uh-oh. Alright, that was my phone. Yeah, guys, I don't ever turn my phone off. I'm a working woman. And sometimes we gotta cut this stuff off, so I don't miss a call because I'm cool like that. And I got a lot of things I gotta do. And so that's my story and I'm sticking to it. Here's Raven Caldera. Okay. I wanted to ask you about relationships as far as spirituality and BDSM. A lot of people don't equate the two together.
about 25 years ago, I got into BDSM. My senior partner got me into BDSM, and I was already a priest and already a shaman, and so of course immediately I started having spiritual experiences while doing it. And for years I would ask people, so what about this spirituality thing? And people would sort of give me the fish eye and they would say, what do you mean, like rubber nun scenes or something? And I was like, no. But eventually people started coming up to me and saying, I had this BDSM scene with my partner and something happened. I don't know what it was, but it was something. And people started to talk about it more. And eventually I wrote a book called Dark Moon Rising, Pagan BDSM and the Ordeal Path. that was, since then there have been other books, but that I think was the first one ever out that talked about the relationship between, between pagan spirituality or any spirituality and BDSM. And if you think about it, a lot of tribal and indigenous cultures around the world have used various and sundry forms of pain and endurance ordeals to go into an altered state, to get the body's chemistry, to send you into an altered state without drugs, and to also give you a big emotional catharsis that opens you up to a spiritual experience. And this is reflected in the Lakota Sun Dance. The Hindu Kavandi ceremony, the ball dances in Indonesia, all sorts of, even the Philippine crucifixions. It's all the same road, really. It's the ordeal path, and it's one of many tools that can and has traditionally been used to open people up to a spiritual experience. And the fact that modern people are finding it in some ways, some people are finding it through BDSM, is not surprising, because that's the only outlet where they have to open up and let go and relax and move into an experience of pain or endurance that's positive.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the people I equate pleasure too much with that's the only form of an outlet of expression and so forth.
I think we're socially stuck on spiritual experiences that are have nothing to do with the body. They're very not bodied. And
exactly.
Things like sex magic or sex spirituality and BDSM spirituality, it's getting there through the body, through the flesh. And a lot of people are really weird about that, but it's the oldest method, is getting there through the body.
Yeah. Well, I've always said, since we are spirits inside our shells, we're here to experience. And as spirits inside a shell, me lifting up this phone right here is a spiritual experience. So sometimes, yeah, I'm bothered by when people are talking about, oh, this is spiritual, oh, this isn't spiritual, because it's all spiritual, right?
Yeah, it's this split, you know, between the physical world and the spiritual world. And in my view, there is no split. It's all sacred. It's all part of it.
Excuse me. Don't be getting all up in my way, because you don't know me like that. You don't even know me like that, okay? You do?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Are you sure you know me like that? Because you could know me like over there, but know me like that? I mean, it takes a special person to know me like that, okay? I mean, if you knew me like this, it'd be different. But since you only know me like that, or sometimes you can know me like there. Which one is it? Do you know me like this? Do you know me like that? Or do you know me like there? Huh? What? I'm gonna get me another cameraman.
There's no need for that.
I'm gonna get me another cameraman that works for almost nothing.
No, you won't.
Yes, I am.
I am worth almost nothing.
What, you gonna beat him up or something?
Yeah.
What if it's a camera girl?
Is she cute?
Huh?
Is she cute?
That doesn't really matter. You only serve me, goddammit.
I'll serve anybody that'll pay me top dollar.
Okay, so we're gonna peel. Remember, okay? You must remember that. One has to peel the banana near the cleavage, okay, and swallow their elspeto. And you must I've met a guy with a penis like that. It was very uncomfortable, but that's another story. You see, and and you must put it very close to your cleavage. If you're a man, then don't make these pancakes, because you have to have cleavage. Or if you're a man with cleavage, it's even cooler. Anyways, you must do this and go, okay? And then, okay, you saw me drop the blue cheese in there, right? A little bit. You just want a little bit, okay? And then you say, oh, sorry, baby. Oh, does that hurt, baby? Oh. Don't worry, you're going to a good place. What? What?
I love you.
Okay, and that will liven up the flavor in your food at any time, right? Then we're gonna put a little bit of that. We're little cubs. All right, we're gonna stick. The reason I'm using lactate is because if it was actual milk, the rum would curdle it, and I don't want curdled milk. We already have rotten cheese in there. We don't need no curdled milk. All right, we're gonna put a quarter cup of rum in here. One quarter cup, three quarter cups of milk, because you want it fluffy. I'm also gonna stick an egg white in there, okay? We ain't gonna stick no yellow shit in there. We don't want no yellow. We don't want no brown. We just want egg whites. Okay? That's a lot. And before I forget, remember, here on Cooking with Cleavage is where we mix mythological, historical, and stupological. And we mostly do stupological. Why? Because I have large breasts. That's why. Now shut up and watch. Are you mesmerized? Are you hypnotized? Okay. So, also I did that to make sure that the milk has its, like, flavors, and since it's lactose free, I have to give it a little lactose energy so that it has this kind of raven flavor of Shaniqual. That was stupid logical. I don't know what the fuck I was saying just now. I just was babbling. Okay, so 3/4 cups of that's a little more than that, but anyways, 1/4 cup of rum, 3/4 cups. Oh, guess what? I'm gonna have a website strictly for web. What's the name of this show again? Oh, Cooking with Cleavage. You must excuse the flies. It's fruit fly time. I need help. I put out the vinegar with the gain inside of it. It's not working. Oh, they smell banana. Oh, is that what it is? Okay, and also I'm going to drop a little bit of honey there because these bananas are not ripe enough. It's better to have the ones when they're a little browner than this, because then you get that. But this one's only going to give it banana flavor. It's not actually going to be sweet. Okay, so remember, a little quarter cup. Oh, and it has to be blue cheese. There. And then do this. You like my red hair? I'm a redhead. I'm gonna be a redhead for a whole 6 weeks. Unless I bungle this up. I'm gonna have to cut it off because it'll be all intertwined and stuff. Oh, what was that? Yeah, where were you? Hey, honey. How you doing, honey? Well, yeah, they call me brown sugar. But you can call me caramel. Honey child. What? Look, honey. If you ain't got no money, then I can't do you, honey. Okay, honey? Okay, yeah, whatever. You're uncooked and pure. You want to do the raw natural honey with me? Oh, hell to the no. Okay? Let's get something straight, honey. Got any money? Okay, honey, well, you best to get. Bye. The best things in life are bought. Where were we? Let's continue with,
there you go.
Okay, so I wanted to ask you also, is there, what is the difference between a dominant submissive relationship as opposed to one of master and slave, top and bottom, owner, property, and leading and support? Is there a difference?
Yes, but right now that is hugely argued about. I gotta say flat out that if you ask 10 people, you will get 12 different sets of definitions. and then they'll start an argument over it. Top-bottom, I think, is pretty clear. Top-bottom isn't about power or anything like that. It's about just like this person is doing something to this person and they might turn around and switch, you know, in 5 minutes or something like that. It's just who's doing an activity and who's receiving the activity. And that's top and bottom are usually used within the context of a BDSM scene iteration. When I say scene, it's like any given like hour of BDSM sex. Whereas dominant, submissive, those terms sort of go back and forth. There's a lot of argument over where dominant, submissive stops and master, slave starts. Let's just say that when you move outside the bedroom and giving authority to consensually and in a negotiated fashion to someone else who wants to take the authority over parts of your life that have nothing to do with what you played in the bedroom. Could be, you know, what you wear, how you do your hair, or anything else that's up for grabs. It's all negotiated. There's a lot of gray area in terms of terminology. I will move all the way to the side, though, and I will say that owner property is usually a situation, nearly always referred to in a situation where someone has consensually given over every part of their life to someone else. The two of them have agreed to that, and that's something that happens after years of working up to it. Nobody in their right mind goes to owner property immediately, even though there's a lot of pornography that talks about it. But pornography is not a good is not good for actually using to create real relationships in the real world. In fact, I'm in an owner property relationship. I'm the owner, and it took us 5 years to get all the way there, and that's okay. That's pretty good. And there's a ways to do this very healthily and with a lot of communication and talking. It requires a lot of good relationship skills. And again, I'd like to very much let people know that alfredpress.com is where the books on this. There's lots of books on how to do this right, and it's on alfredpress.com.
Okay, I'm gonna put 1.5 cups of flour to this. That's what we're gonna do. Wait, and I'm gonna add an egg to it, like I told you, because I kind of want it crispy. So I'm just gonna stick one egg white in there. Why? Because this is Kiara and I can do whatever I want. It's my fucking cooking show, nobody else's. I'm not a chef. I didn't go to school for this. Know what I like when I put it in my mouth. Okay? Okay, so I'm gonna put 1.5, like I said. 1.5. There we go. It's a pancake mix. Pancake mix. They always bounce like this. I'm not making them bounce. What if you really walked around like that? You'd be all off balance all the time. Yes? How may I help you? I'd like to take something out of my checking account. Okay, are you all right, miss? What do you mean? God, that's hard. Whew, that's a workout. Buy fruits having to stick them all inside the. I kind of like fruits when you're looking at them sometimes, you know what I'm saying? Like they're set up there and they look so pretty. Instead, now I got chips up there. How you like them apples? How do you like these apples? Slime. Hey! Somebody told me that I'm playing into misogyny. And I'm not. I'm working with my assets, or my breasts. You know, I really believe that freedom is something you have to work hard at. Because people talk about freedom a lot, but they don't practice it, and they need approval from everyone else. And then you got all these people all mad and shit telling other people who they can and cannot be. That's not freedom. Go do your own shit. And then actually you never tell another adult person what the fuck to do. And that's ridiculous. Okay, so we're gonna heat up. Those are my rocks. You like my rocks? I got lots of rocks. I'm gonna smoke me a rock. When we get done, or actually I heat these up, and then I put them on the body. They're all warm. They feel so good when they're warm. And then your muscles relax, and then you're like, oh, that's for the massage show, isn't it? Okay, so let's carry on. Or next time, or if you guys want, I should have made it with this type of milk. The coconut milk, it's hella good too. I forgot all about that. But we'll do that another day. Eat the fruit fly! Kill the fucking fruit fly! Fucking. Okay. I just hate them. Why it gotta be in my. Do they just like. Do they. Look, now they're teasing me. Don't tell me fruit flies and these things don't have intelligence. Like, after you try to go after them, they're like, they come in front of you and they're like. And then they fly away. Like, they're mocking you. We're gonna use the peanut oil. Again. Ring. Boing, ding, 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 boing, ding, ding, ding. Oh yeah, oh, ding, ding. Okay. You think that's a little too thick? No. I'm gonna do it again. Let's continue. Now we're going to continue with Mr. Guy Raven Caldera. I believe from what I've seen from the, you know, the little research that I've done, there are so many similarities in ancient cultures, and I'm talking across the map. A lot of people right now don't understand words sometimes, and they associate indigenous with a certain character or a certain look or whatever. But in all indigenous or ancient cultures, I find that they didn't have this separation of and this phobia towards same sex, towards they didn't have homophobia. It didn't seem like it because what I read in a couple of things is even the Vikings they had gay couples and so forth. They wouldn't necessarily take them out on war, but it wasn't a big thing for people of the same sex to be together. That became a Christian, Abrahamic, Islamic, and Judaism kind of, they brought that in. And that's like the newest cultures.
Well, okay, it isn't, it's kind of difficult to say something about all ancient cultures or indigenous cultures, because you always have anomalies. No matter what rule you make, some anthropologist can come up with some that don't fit that rule. I would say that the majority of them usually had some kind of acknowledgement and understanding of special roles or something like that. That would, there were a few that were homophobic but basically they would say like, oh, go down the road to that tribe, they'll take you in, that sort of thing. but there certainly were a lot of examples. I wouldn't say that they saw it like we saw it. Usually they saw it like, because they would have a lot of strict cultural roles, but they just had an extra cultural role. You know, if you were, if you were this, then you got to be in that cultural role, but they had a role for it. They had some kind of place for that. And in some cases there were indeed deities that were cross gender or something like that, that reflected this. So it was a lot looser. It was definitely a lot looser. And I think part of that, of course, it's part and parcel with the whole deal of separating spirituality from body and from nature.
Okay. Are we still recording? So as soon as this becomes really, really hot, you don't have to use that much oil, but I like to make my pancakes crispy and kind of fluffy and crispy at the same time, but very thin. So I'm going to try to do that. If I don't do it, you attempt it. You do your thing. And then tell me all about it. Or don't. Just watch my show and act like you don't watch it. Because it's sexualized. You don't want to be associated with a sexy motherfucker like me. I don't know why people think that shit is sexy when you're just making faces at the camera. I mean, who's getting hurt by doing that? Oh man, you know what? There's some sage left over. Excuse me. There's some sage left over in the, I'm scared. Okay, so just drop a little bit to see how hot it is. The smoke you're seeing right now is not, there's nothing wrong. I had burned some sage earlier, and I guess some of the, seeds. I mean, not seed, some of the leaf is still down there, but at least I'm like clearing the energy in here. Okay, that smoke is sage. We want some of that because we want some of that bad energy to go away. You know, you can transform energy. Transform negative energy. You can't destroy it because it's necessary. Negative energy is not necessarily bad. Sometimes we burn because we're not chefs. Woohoo, look, it's a little burnt. Woohoo, look, it's a little burnt. Like I said, I like them fluffy and crunchy. You don't have to use that much oil. I overdid it with the oil, but you do it your way. You do it your way, please. Let me sit up here and be all unhealthy and shit. But I am healthy. I ran six miles today. I think that's pretty good. I gotta go see what's going on with my phone. See? This is awesome. Okay. This is awesome song. Okay, so you said you already told us about your 44 books and so forth, and is there like different presses that have your books, or is where are most of your books at?
Well, I've been writing for 3 decades now. So some of my books have been published through commercial presses like Llewellyn and New Page and Wiser Press, and those are all on Amazon. And the ones that the most recent 20 or so books, I would say, my pagan books are on Asphodel Press. The most recent ones, and that's a press run through my church, my pagan church, which is the First Kingdom Church of Asphodel. And my books about alternative relationships are all on, and my partner's books on alternative relationships are all on Alfred Press. Alfred, like
yes,
Batman.
My lord.
And I do collaborate sometimes with people. I've co-authored several times in the past 30 years with a number of different authors, and I enjoy co-authoring. I think it's a lot of fun, and it's a really great back and forth with various friends.
Okay, and you want to tell us a little more about your Calderon Farm?
Oh, that's our homestead. Calderon Farm is what we named our homestead, and we live in a little 18-acre homestead in the woods in Massachusetts. It's really cold here, and we don't have central heating. we've got a fireplace and a wood stove, and we do organic farming, and it's I find that it's really good for my mental health to have physical beauty all around me. And out here in the woods, all I have to do is walk out the door, and any time of the year there is physical beauty all around me. And so I love my land, and I'm very bonded to my land and the spirit of my land. So I do travel and teach, but I'm always glad to come back here, and we have our garden and chickens and rabbits, and we used to have sheep and goats and things like that. So it's a very quiet, peaceful life. And with all the spiritual work I do, and nature work that I do, I need that. I need that quiet and that peace and that connection to the earth.
Okay, so and people can get a hold of you at the links I'm gonna put up here if they want a reading or whatever, but you have like a strict rule they have to go by.
Yeah, I do not, at the moment, because of the plague, I am not doing in-person readings. I will be later when the plague has calmed down and I've got a vaccination into me, let's hope. But if you need to get hold of me, my hub website is ravencaldera.org. Ravencaldera with a K and .org. And you can find my email there, and you can find all the other websites there. And I also do I will do astrological analyses online, because that I can do online. But shamanic readings, I really need the person there.
Okay, that's beautiful. Well, thank you so much. Is there anything else you'd like to
talk about? I'd just like to throw it out there I should just remind everyone, in this time of isolation, that we still can get access to nature, and we should, even though it's winter and it's cold, spring is coming, we should get out in nature more, and that will really help. Just finding a little place of green and trees or wherever nature is next to you, that really helps with the loneliness and the isolation, if you can just meditate a bit and hook into to the feelings of nature and the spirit of the land there. And remember that that's always under us, always with us at all times, and that you have a body, and that your body is part of the earth and is part of the body of the earth. It's all woven in, and so you are never, never actually really alone.
Okay, I just had one more, because I really always ask my guests this. I want to ask you, so in your feelings, could you tell us what are your personal feelings on the way that sex is stigmatized? Just sex in general. I'm not just talking sexuality or homophobia or gender, all that. I'm just saying sex in general. What does that mean to you? Because my shows are always about destigmatizing, setting sexuality free because it's in a place where I think that it's harming us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That came out of the big religious shift 2000 years ago. And it's all part of the separating humans from nature, humans from their bodies, separating mind and body, and denigrating half of it and saying that the earth is not okay, is profane, the body is profane, and of course that means that sex is profane as well. And I think that's terrible. I think it's terribly unhealthy for us because we're gonna have sex anyway. I mean, yes, some people are asexual, but the majority of people like them some sex. And having just terrible examples and instead of being able to say this is something sacred, this is something that is that you can do with your body to be good to your body, and also that you can do as an act of love with other people and an act of love for yourself and your physical self, and you can do it as an act of love for God. You know, there's no separation there. I think without that, people have bad sex. They have guilt-ridden sex. They have sex for bad reasons. Their sex isn't clean in the sense of it has all kinds of ugly baggage going on. And we also, because we grow up throwing that in a closet, you know, everything we're told that isn't okay into a closet in our subconscious, like we're gonna lock that up but not look at it. And so we throw sex in there as well. And then when we go to haul the sex back out, it's got all this bad stuff stuck to it from being in that closet with everything else that we've been repressing. And I think it's really important for us to really think about, are we having the sex we want to have? And are we having sex for good, healthy reasons and not for bad reasons? And how can we go about cleaning that up and cleaning up our relationships to our bodies and our relationships to nature? And I think it's all part of the same thing. And that you pull on one part of that knot and it will lead you to the other parts. And so it's as you're cleaning up your relationship to sex, also cleaning up your relationship to your body, to your health, and also to the earth. I think doing it all at once is probably the healthiest way to do that.
Thank you so much. You're amazing. And I'd like to thank you for your patience and the time you took to wait for me. Thank you so much. You're really wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us. And we hope to see you and give us an update one of these times, please.
Sure. And good luck with your mission. Good luck with your mission to make people sex better. That is good.
Okay. Thank you for joining us. This is Kiara Rose. And join us for Cooking with Cleavage, Kiara Nation Sex Culture 2045. We'll be coming back soon. And voila.
Cooking with Cleavage. Cooking with Cleavage. And we'd like to thank Raven Caldera for the time he gave us.
Making a cake for my homeless friend.